At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The enemy tries to enter in and get a foothold in your life through pain, through addiction, through trauma, through all of these types of things. And that gives him legal access to wreak havoc in your life.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina.
Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hello, angels. Happy Wednesday. How is everybody feeling? I feel like I haven't done an update in a while. I have some exciting news that's going to be launching today. Next week is when I'm going to come out with the news. But then again, from when you guys are seeing this, it's already going to be out. So, you know, because I do pre-record all these things. But yeah, everything is going well with me so far. My birthday is coming up. My birthday is April 21st. And I'm very excited. I'm going to be 30, flirty, and thriving. So it's the end of my 20s. And shockingly, I'm actually feeling pretty peaceful about it. I've always just felt like me and 30 just doesn't really seem like it's a thing. I feel like I'm really, really starting to, like, I feel more wiser. I feel more mature as well. And I feel like I am just becoming more of myself and also really grounded as well. So yeah, that's how I know I'm definitely on the right track. And also continuing to, you know, start, you know, ministry. So as you guys can see from the title of this video, we're going to be talking about access and authority. Now, one of the people that I like from time to time watching her podcast, her name is Angela something. Her podcast is called Heaven and Healing, something to that nature. And she basically went from New Age to Christianity. And I commented on one of her photos and was like, or her videos. And I was like, hey, can you actually make a podcast episode about legal rights, not Christian legalism? That's a completely separate topic, but legal rights. For some of you, you might be like, what exactly does that mean? Because to be honest, I have only heard of these terms as of recent. When I did Tiffany Montgomery's Year of the Bride Fast is the first time I started hearing the terms like legal rights and having access to this and, you know, the courts of heaven and things like that. I've never really heard of those terms before. So I did start to buy some books that I have not read yet, but they're in my Amazon storefront as well. All of the book recommendations that I have like are actual books that I legitimately do own. And so I'm excited to read more about it. But in today's episode, I wanted to break it down. Now, I will link, of course, if you guys want me to, exactly where I'm getting this information from. Because it is a brand new subject for me, I don't have too much knowledge about it like that I can define, which is why I'm getting it straight from the site. So this is not my own wording of anything. This is coming directly and solely from that website. I just want to be very clear. So one thing that's interesting is in Tiffany Montgomery's last live that I watched, where she was talking about a revelation that she had. She was talking about a couple revelations she had. One thing that stuck out to me, which made me realize I really do want to talk about this topic, is she mentioned that the enemy wants to keep your mind as a tomb and keep you rehearsing what has offended you, what was done to you, to keep you as a prisoner and turn your mind into basically like a memorial. It's like you're reliving these dead moments over and over again. One thing I also like, sidebar, that Tiffany mentioned was she was saying something about don't be concerned if ever in life, by the way, especially if you're new on your journey. I'm noticing a lot of new people coming to the faith. And I want this to be encouragement to you that you shouldn't be ashamed of what your testimony is, because that is proof of God's grace on your life. That is proof that you can change. The fact that you have a testimony. We all have a testimony. We all have different stories. We all have things that we've gone through. And there's so much freedom in like releasing that testimony and really giving it to God. And I know everyone's testimony, it has different levels to it, right? There will be a room that you go in and you'll tell like the nitty gritty, everything. And then you'll have another time where you will just kind of dance over things, but you'll still talk about certain topics. It's up to your comfortability. But she was saying, when people try to bring out your dead skeletons, she said, I'm more afraid of a living God than dead skeletons in a closet. I'll tell on myself before you even tell on me. And I was like, ooh, bars. Like, that is like amazing. I love the fact that she said that, because I think that is so like amazing to think about how it just goes to show, like, when people don't have God in them, people of the world, they don't believe in change. To them, like, no one really changes or whatever. But in God, you are made a new creature. So yes, sweetie, you absolutely can change. You absolutely do change. You do become a new creature when you are in God. And that's the beautiful thing about Jesus and his redeeming power and his restorative love. Restoration in the Bible means speed. Okay. When God has his hand on something, it doesn't matter what the time is. You'll be doing this yesterday and doing the next thing the next day. But to people that don't have spiritual eyes and they're not of God, they're going to look at that and be like, oh, please. Yeah. Well, how can you say you're on this now? And before you was just doing this. I just felt compelled to say that. I don't want you guys to be discouraged. Anyways, so yes, Tiffany was mentioning not that the enemy, his design is to keep us rehearsing dead and old things over and over again. This is why sometimes you'll have people that they hold on to things so deeply, like Tiffany was saying, where you can recall something back verbatim that happened to you that offended you because you keep rehearsing it over and over and over again in your head. And that's a rehearsing spirit. Okay. That is not a good thing. That is a rehearsing spirit that you have where you're, and every time you think of it, you're just as mad as you were the first time. Like mind-boggling things, but that's being demonically influenced. Okay. And again, like I said, we have to stop thinking that being demonically influenced is like you're literally a witch with a conjuring or something like that. No, being demonically influenced is any sort of chaos, confusion, because that's what the devil is. He's the father of lies. He is the author of chaos, confusion, death, destruction, all these different things. He is the author of those things. So yeah, anything that's negative, everything that's good and perfect comes from God. Everything that is good and perfect comes from the Lord. What's so funny is that when we are rehearsing things to ourselves over and over again, it's easy to forget how far God has brought us out of, like, thinking of all the good things that he's actually done in your life. Like, have a moment where you practice that gratefulness. God, I'm so grateful for where you have brought me out of. And I had something that came into my remembrance today, and I almost wanted to shout because I'm like, wow, like, I remember that happening, and God really brought me out of that and delivered me out of that. And it was just what he really worked and showed himself, okay, that day. So I want you guys to remember that you have the most powerful authority, which is Jesus Christ. All right. Now, let's get into what legal rights are. All right. Demonic legal rights. So a legal right is something that can give demons an opportunity to enter or harass us, or give them the right to remain in us even when we try to cast them out. So some of the most common, you know, ways that the enemy, aka Satan, gains legal right in our life is obviously through sin, right? And especially willful sin. So when we commit sin, it says that it gives the enemy legal right to affect or bother us in one way or another. And this is absolutely true. This is why, like, and having this knowledge and understanding is really what makes me a lot more aware as a believer. And the more knowledge that I acquire is in the fact that the enemy tries to enter in and get a foothold in your life through pain, through addiction, through trauma, through all of these types of things. And that gives him legal access to wreak havoc in your life. So when a person allows unholy thoughts to enter their mind, it can open the door to a demon of lust, which eventually causes that person to commit adultery. All right. It starts when the enemy tempts us into the wrong thing. Then we accept it and make it a habit. Then it opens the door for the enemy to move in further. And then behind the bad habit, which can be formed, lies a demonic compulsion that isn't easily resisted. So now you don't have conviction over these things, or maybe you also don't know about the Holy Spirit, you don't know about Jesus or anything, and you just can't stop this addiction. There's a reason why a lot of people struggle with pornography, masturbation, all these different things that, like, people might find are so cliche of topics to talk about, but they're really not. People really think about it when they have these struggles, and it's like a compulsion. It's like you have to, like, release yourself, or you have to, like, go sleep with someone. You have to go drink and get wasted and black out. You have to go blindly eat the whole entire pack of Oreos. You have to curse someone out. These become compulsions that we begin to have and practice whenever the enemy has a foothold in our lives. And again, it starts with the thought, and then we accept it as that. We accept that lie that the enemy's trying to convince us of. Oh, you guys broke up? Go sleep with him. Just do it. You know you want to. He's hot. Just do it. And that is a lie. You're not going to feel better when you go and do that. You're going to feel, the enemy's going to tell you that's going to make you feel better, because then you won't think about the guy that maybe broke your heart. But that's a lie. You're now creating another soul tie with another person. You are leaving pieces of yourself with every person that you lay down with. And that directly goes against what the Bible wants us to do, and how the Bible and how God wants us to treat our bodies being temples. Yeah. So like I said, it opens the door for the enemy to move in further. And then when you, after you form that habit and you have that demonic compulsion that it's harder to resist, if the person continues down this path, he's going to continue to open more doors, okay? And because you're going to go down a path of more sin, and eventually now you're going to find yourself falling into those temptations more and more because of the feelings and the desires that the demons are trying to push onto you that seems so irresistible, okay? So once you commit those sins, right, adultery, fornication, these different things, then mega doors are going to start to be open. And the problem is it's literally, and it says here, it's a snowball going downhill. Sin opens the door to demons, which pushes us in the direction of more sins, which opens us to more demonic oppression, more demons. And I want to say this, you're probably thinking, wait a second, what? How can, even if you're a believer, how can you have demons? I want to be very clear here. I am of the belief that you can be a Christian and still have demons on you. Doesn't mean you're going around doing evil. You could be someone that prays like crazy, all these different things, but there are areas of your life that are still very oppressed. See, when you have demons in you, doesn't mean you're an evil person in this context, but you're being oppressed by the enemy in some way, shape, or form, and you need deliverance from those things. You're wondering why you can't break this stronghold of you being able to have more abundance in your life and prosperity in your life. And you're trying to figure out, like, where does the devil have a foothold in my life? And to Tiffany's point, she has placed a lot of emphasis as of late on idolatry. Where do I have idolatry in my life? That's also a way for the devil to get a foothold. That's also a way for the enemy to gain legal rights and access into your life. And she defines it, or for it is defined as anything that you love more than your obedience to God. That's what idolatry is. And idolatry can be anything, okay? Clothes, shoes, perfumes. So I love music, okay? Relationships, friendships. Literally, it can be anything. Celebrities, the list goes on. And that can cause delay in your life. That can cause the enemy to get to have legal access to wreak havoc in your life. Because once you start down one path of sin, especially when it comes to sexual immorality, you start to feel, you may feel a little bit of conviction here, or maybe you might not even bother wanting to stop because maybe some of you watching this or listening to this feel like, okay, but that's just not for me. Like, I admire other people doing it, you know, being abstinent, whatever the case is, but that's just not really something that I really want to do because I don't really feel like that's something I can get a hold of. But that is not true. That is absolutely not true. Like, God has given us authorities to crush scorpions. And I don't remember what that scripture is, but the remedy for this is repentance. All right. You have to verbally confess, repent your sins that have given the enemy legal rights to your life. All right. Especially if you recognize a particular sin that has opened the door to keep you in bondage that you're seeking deliverance from. It really helps when you specifically repent that sin. All right. Anything that you can ask God to bring it into your remembrance, because some of you remember every little other thing. You need to remember what you did. How about that? All right. 1 John 1:9 tells us if we don't confess our sins and instead we hide them from God, it leaves that sin remaining in our lives. We need to confess our sins in order to be forgiven. I don't know if you don't know this or not, but you can't hide anything from God. And that's not an excuse to, well, why do I have to say it? Because he already knows it. It's about our heart's posture. It is about our obedience to God. What is he telling us to do? If he's telling you to lay that down, you know, whatever iniquity that you're dealing with, iniquity meaning willful sin that you're dealing with, you have to lay it down at the feet of Jesus. You have to pray about that. Repent on those things so that you can be forgiven. Another way that the enemy gains legal access to you is through soul ties. Okay, so it says it is possible for two persons to share spiritual ties, okay, which is like a spiritual bridge connecting two people. Some of the most popular and destructive soul ties are formed during adultery and fornication. 1 Corinthians 6:16 warns us not to have sexual relations with a prostitute because we become one flesh. Flesh as in soul realm kind of flesh, not a physical flesh. What is your soul? Your mind, will, and your emotions. This ungodly soul tie is like a rope between two persons that demons can use to their advantage to cross from one person to another. So if that person had demons tormenting them and you had sex with them, it unites two persons and therefore a soul tie is created. And the demons tormenting that person can also have rights to torment you. This does not apply to married couples because there is no unhealthy soul tie created from sex within marriage. I want to stop right there for a second because that might be confusing to some of you because you're like, wait a second. But whatever, that's because it's biblical. And think about it. The kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, they understand legal rights, which is why it's important for us as the body of Christ to also understand how this works. God, why am I suffering with this? Where do you have idolatry that's causing delay in your life? God, why do I feel like I'm so oppressed? I keep hitting this wall. Well, what sin do you have in your life that is allowing the devil to wreak havoc in your life? These are questions we need to ask ourselves because the enemy knows that within a marriage, you can't have a soul tie in a marriage because it is a covenant under God. It is protected under God. Then he can't touch that. And that's the right way to do things. So he understands that ostensibly. So the Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiled and defilement is required to create an evil soul tie. What would be considered defilement? Well, obviously, fornication and adultery. So again, the kingdom of darkness follows legal right. they cannot defile something that is undefilable because they understand the word and they know what the word says. Are you picking up what I'm laying down? So what is the remedy for this? Well, again, repentance, renunciation. You have to renounce and break these soul ties. A lot of us are walking around still thinking about, man, if I could just have one more night with Harry. No, like we cannot continue down this path. And that's why some of us are walking around feeling like when we're thinking of certain people, you have a visceral reaction to even the thought of some of the things that y'all used to do. Okay. So that's what it is, really. It's a soul tie that you have to this person where your mind, your will, and your emotions are tied into that relationship. You guys might not even be together. You guys are broken up years ago, years have passed, et cetera, but you still find yourself thinking and having, you know, visceral reactions to the times that you guys shared because it's a soul tie and it needs to be broken. Now, I've said this in the past, the kingdom of heaven is voice activated. You have to speak the word over these things. That's why you have to come out of agreement with, divorce, renounce these things, these demonic soul ties, okay? And more importantly, first of all, you want to repent for the sin which has caused the soul tie to be formed in the first place. Then you can use your authority in Jesus to break and sever the unholy soul tie, saying something like, you know, I now renounce and break and sever all unholy soul ties, all ungodly soul ties between myself and blank through the act of adultery, through the act of fornication, da da da, you fill in the blank, all right? There can also be soul ties between yourself and another person without a sexual relationship involved. What? Oh yeah, sexual relationships are one of the best ways to create a very strong soul tie. But it's not the only way. Other soul ties can be created through unhealthy relationships, right? Such as being close to, you know, someone that you look up to as a guardian and you take their advice over God's advice. Again, you want to repent and break any soul ties in the name of Jesus. That's the way to go about solving this type of problem. And another thing actually that could be holding you back from breaking the soul tie is a physical object that's given to you by the other person. You're holding on to his sweatshirt. You're holding on to this thing holds sentimental value, but really it's an idol of in physical form of representative of what that relationship once was to you. So you keep that, you know, necklace or something and you're constantly wearing it around your neck. The first thing I did when I got out of the relationship with someone that I was dating for a couple years is I bought a brand new necklace. So me wearing this is a constant reminder when I think of it, of me choosing myself, Aisha, and not that person in that dynamic. And he was so deeply like devastated to the point of like, I actually found his behavior to be deplorable, if I'm really going to be honest, because the way he responded, like, it doesn't even matter at this point. That's not the main point of the story, but I exchanged the item. I got a new item from it. I did not keep what he has given to me. I let it go because especially when it comes to, there's a reason you want to hold on to that. And a lot of the times you're not holding on to it because it was just such the good memories. You're holding on to it because you're trying to harvest good memories from a probably toxic dynamic, someone that was not for you, and you're trying to keep items of theirs around and you don't realize it, but that's what you're doing. So if you're given a love gift, especially through an adulterous relationship, right? For example, those gifts can hold the soul tie together. Aisha, what do you mean? Well, we're talking legal rights here, right? So I understand in the physical, this sounds absolutely ridiculous. Like you may feel very much detached from the things that maybe you kept from somebody. However, again, from in the spiritual realm, and everything is spiritual and we are spiritual beings, this is the facts that items, holding on to items such as that, can hold a soul tie together. If the gift is valuable, then maybe you can sell it. Okay. And if it, of course, is demonic, then you just want to throw that thing straight down the drain because, I don't know, I was gifted at one point, not from a partner, but from a friend of mine at the time. I was gifted rocks, like crystals, crystals, and I threw it down the drain. Not down the drain, but in the garbage. I literally drove to like a random location and like threw it in the trash can. Because again, when it comes to gifts like that, like when it comes to these new age demonic divination, anything divination, tarot cards, new age books, Queen Afua, you want to throw those things in the trash. You don't want to give them away to another person. That's not how that goes. When it comes to things of that nature, you throw it in the garbage, period. Another way that the enemy gets legal right into your life and has access to you is through demonic vows. Now, what does that look like? A demonic vow can be like a spiritual signature that the enemy uses as a legal right to gain access to our lives. So demonic vows can be made consciously or unconsciously. So oftentimes, if you are the type of person to join a cult, which is a group of, it's a group of witches, they are required to make vows to the devil. And demonic vows can be made unconsciously just by dabbling with the occult, just by getting curious about the occult and reading forbidden materials. Okay. This also includes a hot take right here. Horoscopes. They can give the enemy your spiritual signature. This is why even for me, I had to renounce and denounce and come out of agreement and divorce, you know, horoscope reading, because I was dabbling in that thinking innocently like, hey, it applies to me today, it doesn't tomorrow. I thought nothing of it. And the best thing that the enemy does is deceive us into thinking, oh, you're just being so extra, like it's not that big of a deal. Oh, you're saying yoga's demonic and it's not. Like, and it is. It's a Hindu practice, and Hinduism is demonic worship. They worship a million different gods. End of story. You think it that the best thing the enemy does is he convinces us that it's not that big of a deal. It's not that serious. Like, that's the best thing he does. And another thing that he loves to do is hide things in plain sight. You see these celebrities do all these rituals on stage, et cetera, et cetera. Sam Smith and his demonic, like, performance that he did on some award show. And you have people thinking, oh, love that color red. It's very striking. I see what the creative director did there. He really wanted to do something a little outside of the box. And it's like, no, this is a ritual. This is blatant satanic. It's blatant satanic performance here. But okay, like, sure. Anyways, including horoscopes can give the enemy your spiritual signature. And it tells the enemy that you're interested. And let me tell you something. The enemy, like I said, this is so important for you guys to be listening to this episode, please. Because the enemy understands this. You need to understand it too. It is not as simple as, oh my gosh, it's not that big of a deal. I can read tarot and read my Bible at the same time. Like, I feel like God is speaking to me through the tarot. No, he's not. That is practicing divination. And I know that that sounds so harsh and, oh, how could you say something like that? I'm trying to help you out here by giving you the truth, and the truth will set you free. After you deal with horoscopes, it then turns into trying to get into maybe Kundalini, or, you know, trying to get to know your higher self and ascending masters and ancestral masters and having open up the Akashic records and all of this stuff. And then it turns into, chanting a certain demonic words and all of these different things. And then it turns into, oh, next you want to hear about the psychic, because on one of the apps that I used to have, I don't remember what it was called, but on the app, they gave you an option to speak with psychics on a horoscope app. And I remember at first thinking, that is so, like, what does one have to do with the other? Because those spirits work in conjunction with one another. And the thing about New Ageism is it's people that are just in constant, they have a perpetual hunger for like the truth, but they're ever learning and never coming to it. Because the only truth is believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. End of story. The only way to the Father is through the Son. Son meaning Jesus Christ. Father meaning God. That's the only way we can achieve heaven. And I know that people may hear this and be like, oh, I cannot believe you just said that. I don't care. Because this is kingdom work, and this is truth that we must stand on. And I am responsible for giving you guys the truth, whether it's palatable to you or not. The truth is what it is. And sometimes, no matter how you deliver something, it's going to hurt your feelings, right? If you know that you're struggling in a certain area and someone's kind of talking about it and calling it out, it doesn't matter how soft their voices are, whatever the case is, you may feel offended. You may feel offended at first, like, who does she think she is saying this about fornication? Like, who does she think she is? Like, does she think she's better than me because this isn't an area that she struggles? Don't let the enemy allow you to be so offended so he can have a foothold in your life. You know, I was watching that. I love watching different stories about, you know, how witches turn their life to Christ. And people, like, especially in that were in like deep voodoo and the occult and satanic worship and witches and stuff, like in Africa, because they show you how it works with legal rights. They show you how it works in rankings and systems and how important it is to stay prayed up, because we will spend out of the entire week, maybe a half an hour with God, if that, in 7 days, but we dedicate so much other to engaging in other secular activities. Yeah, you can watch a show, depending on what's on the show, but you can easily binge Netflix, and Netflix is now your idol. Like Tiffany Montgomery said, Netflix is now your idol, and you're binge watching Netflix. And in the entire 7 days that have gone throughout the week, however many hours that is, you literally have only spent time with God 5 minutes, maybe to if you're lucky, 30 minutes out of the entire week. We have to really consider what we are pouring in. And my dad said something in service today where he was like, if you don't deposit, you cannot withdraw. I felt that. If you don't deposit, meaning spend time with your father, get a revelation from your father, and having all these Bible study tools and stuff, they really help you to really like learn about God and all these different things, and it makes you excited. How can you expect to withdraw God's power and really like lean on him if you're not doing these things? I want to move on. So Jesus warns us to not make any vows at all. This also includes sororities. Sororities are demonic. And I said what I said. Sororities are demonic. Freemasonry is demonic. And it disguises itself as a network of young people who just really want to help each other in the sisterhood. It is demonic. It is rooted in the occult. There are satanic rituals that are involved in getting initiated into these sororities, into the Freemasonry. And people at a certain ranking of Freemasonry, they understand well and good that they are worshiping the devil. They're worshiping Satan. They know what it is. But not everyone that's in Freemasonry has that awareness because they may be at a lower ranking. Now, the only vows obviously that are acceptable are like, of course, like your wedding vows, a vow to God himself, like, you know, I vow to do this and being in covenant with God. And what is the remedy for this, for preventing the enemy from having legal access in your life, is we need to, of course, repent, renounce those vows and seek God's forgiveness. Okay, you have to verbally do these things, just like how you, that just also goes to show you how, again, everything is voice activated. If it wasn't, you wouldn't need to say certain things to get into a certain club or like the sororities, the Freemasonry, you wouldn't need to say anything if words did not truly have power over us. Right? So we should not be making any vow that does not glorify God. Okay. And like I said, we want to repent and renounce from those vows and seek God's forgiveness. Okay. Vows are made verbally, so they must be done verbally. They must be renounced verbally, et cetera, et cetera. Another way, the obvious one, or maybe some of you don't know this, unforgiveness. Now, I've spoken about this in a previous podcast. Forgiveness is not an option. It is a necessity. I don't care what the offense was. I don't care who said what about you, who did what to you. You have to forgive aggressively. And you will be free of those things. Because if you wake up every single day, we can all find a reason to be mad at someone every single day and slither in anger and marinate in anger all day. And you're waking up every day like it just happened. Like it just happened. Constantly getting deceived over and over again by the enemy and allowing him to have a foothold in your life because you refuse to let it go. And you have to just let it go, because unforgiveness is poison. I'm going to do a podcast episode on forgiveness, forgiving yourself and also forgiving others, and how forgiveness is poison. We need to do an in-depth podcast on that, Now, obviously, the remedy is repent for holding on to bitterness in your heart. Ask God to bring it into your recollection. Tiffany was saying in the live that I saw of hers recently to ask God to remove it out of your mind, I believe, and out of your GI tract. Your GI tract, obviously, it's your second brain, right? And that's why you get those visceral or those internal reactions to, you know, when you're feeling upset by someone, like your stomach drops. Like, I know that happens to me. Like, my stomach will drop. Like, I feel very anxious or whatever. And this is when you're holding on to something. So when you're holding on to the bitterness in your heart against others, you have to make the solid decision to forgive who has wronged you. It's not about feelings. It's about what the word says. What does the word say? When Jesus was tempted by Satan, he gave scripture. He repeated what the word said. We have to do the same thing. Okay. Another thing, it could just be ancestral sins. Believe it or not, this is why you want to stand as the repairer of the breach for your bloodline, because there could be generational curses in your bloodline that has given the devil legal access to you. I just learned about this on my fast that I did with Tiffany Montgomery last year, where she was talking about this. I said, oh, wow. What a revelation. I never heard of these terms before. I never heard of these things before. Yeah, they're very, very real. When you involve yourself deeper in sins or in the occult world, right? Not only do you open demonic doors in your own life, but you also open demonic doors in the lives of your children, your grandchildren. Okay, this is in Exodus 20, verse 5. If your ancestors have committed sins or have been involved in the occult, it's a good idea to confess those sins to the best of your ability and ask God for forgiveness on behalf of your bloodline. Yeah, I know this might sound like what they have to do with me, but you must repent on behalf of your bloodline. Okay? Because even though you're not personally guilty of those sins, they may have caused curses in your life. You're noticing that everyone passes away at a certain age. You're noticing that no one in your family ever usually gets married. You're noticing that there's an influx of having children out of wedlock, or as soon as they have children and they do get married, then they immediately get divorced. You're seeing that pattern happening. That is a curse. Mm-hmm. Common ways to tell if ancestral sins are involved is if you and your siblings have experienced the same or similar problem, you know, throughout generations, or that you are. The legal grounds have to be broken again once you are repenting of these things. Okay. So another way, childhood rejection. A lot of the enemy will trap you, keep you in bondage during childhood. Okay. So if your parent, let's say, rejected you or showed rejection towards you, now you have the spirit of rejection that's entering into you. Okay, so now you have to make a choice to forgive those people, to let go of that rejection and forgive them and release them into your freedom of forgiveness. Okay, the spirit of rejection is usually present when it comes to, you know, abandonment, when it comes to childhood, you know, traumas, things like that. And it needs to be renounced. Okay. The enemy will also have legal right when it comes to points of weakness. Okay. Emotional, you know, shock, trauma. The enemy uses pain. He uses these situations to have legal right over our lives because we're so distracted by that monstrosity that we just bared witness to, or the whatever we just experienced, that we're not focused on how good God is in that moment, because we're really focused on what the heck just happened to me. What did I just experience? So he uses fearful experiences, hurtful experiences during childhood and other areas to build walls in defense for ourselves that are physical walls, spiritual or emotional. And this is where someone becomes weakened. It leaves them vulnerable to the enemy to attach himself to us. Oh, if God is so good, then why did this happen to me when I was younger? We may not have answers for everything, but if you're noticing a lot of R wording has happened in your life, the enemy uses silence. If you go into your bloodline, you will notice that it has happened to many people in your bloodline. And silence was the way that it was perpetuating in your bloodline, where no one ever spoke up about these things that were occurring. You're going to find a correlation in that silence and R wording. There's a correlation with that. And the enemy operates in that way. So the same is true with drinking excessive amounts of alcohol and taking drugs. They lower our defenses. And since demons thrive on weakness, they love to move in and step in when we engage in activities like this. Okay. So now, what is the remedy to this? Okay. If you have any bitterness involved that someone has ever caused you and you're holding it against them, you forgive them, you repent for harboring the bitterness. If it's any point of weakness caused by your own sin, drinking, drugs, confess, repent of that sin. If the demons have entered through a traumatic experience and it was really no one's fault, then obviously, yeah, in this case, the demons are 100% the trespassers. And this is why it goes to legal right. You have to tell the enemy, I cancel every demonic assignment of the enemy. I come out of agreement with it and let the devil know you are trespassing. You have no legal right here. You need to go. You must flee, right? And then spoken self curses. I'll never get married. No one's ever really going to want me. The words we say have spiritual value, and the Bible says to bless and not curse, and that the tongue has the power of life and death. If you walk around saying, oh, I wish I would just die, a demon can hear you and then go to God and say, look, she wants to die. Here comes the spirit of death. Here comes the spirit of suicidal thoughts. And there's so many books you can read on this. Like, there's a book, it says Blessing or Curse You Can Choose by Derek Prince, which discusses this topic. I also have another book by Derek Prince called Something with Marriage, God is a Matchmaker. And then there's another great book, Reverse the Curse. This is all in my Amazon storefront, by the way, all these books. The remedy is to take back what you said against yourself so you renounce it and you repent for speaking such things and break these curses in the name of Jesus, right? You can also have cursed objects. The devil will use demonic books, all these different things to have a foothold into your life, okay? Because physical objects, they also hold spiritual value. Idols, occult books, rings, movies, charms. If you bring any Indian or pagan religion artifacts into your, you could be opening the door for demons to enter and bother people that are in your house. A land can also become defiled by sins of its owners, which is in the book of Leviticus 18, verse 27. So now, briefly, as we conclude, how do you remove the authority fully, right? After you repent and everything that the enemy has over you? Well, one, if it is a physical object, you want to burn and destroy these physical objects that are cursed, all right? Isaiah 2, verse 18, and the idols he shall utterly abolish. It is biblical to burn cursed objects. Repent for bringing such objects into your home if you're responsible for them. Land can be cleansed through prayer and repenting of sins of the previous owners. You also want to renounce any known demons that have been invited, any spirit guides, all right? Any interest and involvement in the occult or Satanism. Also renounce demons that you know need to be cast out. This helps let demons know that you are no longer interested in having them around. Other things that are helpful to look out for is, when did the bondage in my life start? Try to pinpoint how that problem started. What gave the demons the ability to enter? Really think about this and look for any involvement in the occult, sins, vows, traumatic experiences, along with any unusual happenings emotionally, spiritually, or mentally. And I want to end on this note. The enemy never does anything new, right? He repeats the same attacks. His power is inferior. He does not have authority unless you give it to him. And in all the things that I listed previously, this is how you allow the enemy to have authority in your life, is when you participate in those things. That's how you allow him to have a foothold in your life. So with repentance and renunciation and divorcing and cutting these cords, you know, these soul ties, et cetera, are really what's going to remove the enemy from having a foothold over your life. And so check out my Amazon storefront, you guys, in my book recommendations that you can see. I have a lot of books that touch on these subjects that will be really helpful and resourceful to you. With that being said, angels, thank you so much for hanging out with me. Do not forget that I love you and God loves you. And I will speak to you beautiful angels in my next podcast episode. Mwah.